In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. On a Monday morning, thank you for joining us for Word for Life. And Pastor Ken Keltner of Brookside Baptist Church is walking us through the book of Judges. As you know, today is Memorial Day, and a very special day here in America as we commemorate those through the ages who have given their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. And I hope today is a day that you at least give part of your day toward an observance and some type of a memorial of that. We have so much to be thankful for. Here at Brookside, just a couple things to remind you of. We are having our next weekend, our Summer Wednesday cookout on Wednesday evening at 5:30. And come and enjoy a burger and brat with us at 5:30. And then we have a Bible study afterwards. And just really a great, great time that we have. We're also looking forward to our Children's Bible School, which now is just about 3 weeks away, June 19th to the 23rd for elementary age children. And appreciate your prayers and parents, the attendance of your children for that, which really can be life transforming for them. But Pastor Ken, we're in chapter 2, and we're talking about the children of Israel and after the death of Joshua and just their pretty quick decline into apostasy.
They forget to remember. You know, have you ever forgot something that you thought, man, I need to remember that?
Yeah.
I remember years ago we were on a subject like this on a Sunday morning here at Brookside, and I shared the story when, after I first got to Brookside. For folks visiting, this is back quite a while ago before prices went sky high. I went and I met with the manager of a Cinnabon over in the Mayfair Mall.
Hmm.
And told her what we were wanting to do. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give you guys a deal. You can get a box of 4 Cinnabons for $5. I thought, wow, this is going to be great. We're going to take Cinnabons to people who visit us here at Brookside. And I remember the first time I went to pick up, I picked up like probably 7 boxes. So it was like 3 big bags of Cinnabons. And I'm getting ready to go down the escalator at Mayfair Mall from the food court. And I remember this all the time now. In fact, I probably have shared it with you guys before.
We're picturing this
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And I'm going down and I get about I'm only a quarter of the way down. And I remember, oh, I didn't get a receipt. I need a receipt. And so instead of going all the way down and then just riding the elevator back up, and this elevator is right by where all the children are playing with their parents, you know, the mothers are watching. I decide I'm going to try to run back up the escalator.
Mm-hmm.
And I get almost to the top and I fall flat on my face. I rip my pants, cut my shoe, cut my knee up on the escalator. I kind of crawled out of off the escalator. Of course, I fell on all the Cinnabons, all these, mothers are looking at me, and I wanted to say, hey, don't worry about me. I'm a trained professional. I got a degree from Bob Jones University. And so I ended up going back and getting my receipt. She looked at me, and she goes, man, what happened to you? I go, I didn't remember that I really should just come up the escalator uh-huh. instead of trying to run up one going down.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you forget to remember, and all of a sudden you got problems big time on your hands. And that's exactly, as you mentioned, what Israel, what had happened there. We saw right away in the first 10 verses that they really forgot what God had done. They'd forgotten that those wonderful, miraculous events that God had done for the people, for their parents, for their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just flat said, we're not going to listen to you. And now it picks up in verses 14 and 15. And why don't you read verses 14 and 15 in chapter 2, where the Lord's anger is going to be hot against them. And now we're going to start to see this cycle starting to develop here.
Mm-hmm. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hand of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed.
I don't know of anything that would be worse than when you're being spanked by the Lord. And I've had my opportunities. That's one great way you can know you're a child of God. When you step out of line, you know you're out of line, you see God spank you.
Yeah.
And I've had my spankings, and God has told us there in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, that whom he loves, he disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to start seeing happen here, that they're going to be under bondage under the same folks that they saw no danger from.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why can't I get with them? I mean, God sold them. You know, at first, yes, your addictions serve you, and then suddenly you are serving them. That's one lie of Satan. You can break your sin anytime you want to.
Mm-hmm.
No, it can have a hold on your body. And you think of alcoholics and drug addicts and, oh, man, I mean, they're doing things that in their right mind they would never, ever do. And, you know, we refuse to obey God. God uses these very areas to punish us, whether it be alcohol, whether it be immorality, whether it be drugs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God's saying if they're not going to obey my voice, they're going to learn to obey the punishment I'm giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've sinned against God, and now you see God bringing them in bondage, servitude to a whole group of people that they at one time are wanting to kind of hang with. They forgot what the Lord had done. They forsook what he had said. And now they're seeing the anger and the disciplined hand of God. God's forfeiting, what he had, said he would do. Now, God will always come back to keep his promises, but this group is having a tough time. And then in verses 16 to 23, they failed to learn from what the Lord did. So this cycle, disobedience, discipline, despair, deliverance is right, and it's repeated seven times in the book of Judges. And God is going to raise up a judge to deliver them when they repent. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And these judges led them militarily, civilly, in matters of justice and law. But in verse 17, why don't you read verse 17 for us, what takes place here?
Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods, bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so.
In verse 21, again, the anger of the Lord. The Lord says, "No longer I'm going to drive out the enemies before them. Any of these nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately." Nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. I mean, God is allowing these nations, as they are have taken Israel basically captive, to test whether Israel, his people, would repent and come back to serving him. And God hasn't changed his ways. He still uses bondage of sin to test us today. And a question I'd have for you, are you in bondage or are you in blessing? Is it our generation knows more, or is it that our generation needs to turn back to God and to the Bible? Turn back to God of the Bible. And friends, it's going to be your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make tons of choices in life, but when it comes to eternity, my friend, there's only two. It's either going to be heaven and living eternally with God one day, or it's going to be eternally in hell, where we're told the fire is not quenched, outer darkness, and where the worm is not destroyed. And so Those are the only two choices.
Mm-hmm.
There is no holding tank after my life on earth is over. And so that's why Paul told the Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That is the most important choice you'll ever make in life,
mm-hmm.
is to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. And so Judges could definitely be a picture for us of what God is actually doing with his own people.
Mm-hmm.
This book records for us centuries. I mean, these just weren't a few years. Mm-hmm. I think the last time you were with me, we were talking about how many years was progressing. I mean, mm-hmm. centuries here of Israel's repeated failure and God's continual grace toward his rebellious people.
Mm-hmm.
The old adage that history repeats itself is definitely true and evident during this time of Israel's past, the cycle of rebellion, the cycle of punishment, deliverance, and what God was doing. Over and over, Israel fell away from the Lord. He punished them with this oppression. In desperation, these distraught Israelites would cry out to help, just like people today cry out for
mm-hmm.
help. I mean, the building's on fire. I mean, they're crying out to God for help.
Mm-hmm.
Shootings going on in the neighborhood. They're crying out, you know, to God for
mm-hmm.
help. And then God graciously would raise up a human judge. But what was interesting in that passage you read there in verse 16, they wouldn't listen to the judges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After that, there'd be a time of peace until a new generation forgot the Lord. And then that cycle was repeating. So you're thinking, why didn't God just take out his heavenly baseball bat and just obliterate him? Let me ask you if you've ever had someone who owed you money and they didn't pay it. They said they would, but they didn't. Or your company promised you a new position and increase in salary if you would just move and take a new position in a new state. And so you did. And a couple of months later, your company lets you go. They didn't fulfill their agreement with you. How about as a child or as a teen, your dad promised to be there to watch your game or see you perform in a play or come to your recital and you looked around and you never saw him? He would often promise the world but never deliver. It happens all the time. I'm sure you have your own story of a promise given to you, but it never materialized. We often call them broken promises. Contracts and covenants are broken every day. Happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a marriage covenant or a signed business contract, people break promises. But then we come across a few people in life who actually keep their word. They promise you they'll do something, and you know what? They do it. Often in spite of even personal sacrifice, they just do it. Can I give you four words to answer the question concerning why did God just not wipe them out and start over? Here are the four words, and you can chisel them in stone. God keeps his promises. He brought judgment. He brought discipline to them, but he didn't just break his promises. It's impossible for God to lie. He keeps his word. May we go out thinking right now today of Titus 1:2, which simply just says, God cannot lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He will always be true, no matter what the circumstances are that we're faced with. Hope you'll join us for another study here in the book of Judges in our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.